When you know that you are queer, but your favorite drink is beer, that's gayish. You can bottom without stopping, but you can't stand going shopping, that's gayish. Oh, gayish, you're probably gayish. Well, life's just too short for narrow stereotypes, so it's gayish. We're also gayish. It's gayish with Mike and Kyle.
Hello, everyone in the podcast universe. This is Gayish.
The podcast's so invasive, it should be called The Gay of Pigs.
I thought you were going to go with invasive species, like we're you know, the murder wasps or murder hornets or something.
The murder hornets of the podcast network.
I'm Mike Johnson.
I'm Kyle Goetz.
We're here to bridge the gap between sexuality and actuality. And today,
We're going to talk about cheating.
We're going to talk about cheating. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. It's going to be so good. It's going to be great. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And agreeing. Yep. But first,
you can cut this. You might hate it.
Oh,
I am not feeling super awesome today. And I hope that the show doesn't suffer. Like I don't feel like I'm on all thrusters, as Dr. McCoy would say.
Who's Dr. McCoy?
Yeah. Okay, great. Star Trek. It's a Star Trek thing, Kyle.
Oh, great. Okay. Isn't McCoy some kind of football guy that went to UT? Anyway, I'm glad that wasn't the reference. Yeah, no, samesies. We're both in a little off mood.
Yeah. So, but we're here to do our quality. Quality best, the best quality we can muster. We're gonna squeeze this rock and see if any blood comes out.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do at the beginning of podcasts? Set their expectations so low that literally anything you say will be seen as an achievement.
Yes. Which really, how high can their expectations be if they've been listening for a while?
Is this what we've been doing this whole time? Speaking of low expectations, let's talk about the news.
Here's the news.
Shut your mouth hole. It's time for your ear holes. News, news, news.
Okay, news the first. I don't want to start with this, but I'm going to start with this. Have you been following all this shit going down in LA?
I don't know.
Okay, great. So there are presently, we're recording this on Monday night, July the 19th, riots in LA, and there are both anti-trans protesters and trans rights protesters like duking it out on the streets of LA, all because of this little place called the Wii Spa or the Y Spa. It's WI. I have watched multiple newscasts of local LA news, and the casters on those do not say it the same. So I don't know which one is actually right. I'm going to guess Wii because it's Asian. It's in Koreatown in LA, and they have a posted public, and it's actually the fucking law in California that trans people use the facilities of their gender. And then there's this woman who posted this video where she's at the front desk and she's yelling at this poor kid at the front desk. Thank God he's behind plexiglass, I'm assuming for reasons, because they just, anyway, yelling at him that there's a man in the woman's spa and there are children there and they saw his penis and he is horrible and I'm offended. And he rather calmly explains to her, no, she is trans, and that's the policy. The right wing went absolutely fucking crazy with it. It got posted to multiple sites. You could probably name a lot of them, but began calling for a boycott of the spa, created all of these just baseless claims about pedophilia. The people that are showing up to these protests are carrying signs that read protect female spaces and it's worse in women's shelters. But like, this is apparently the hill that they want to die on, is trans women's penises in spas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've been chanting things like save our children. It's just. Yeah. So a bunch of pro-trans rights activists showed up. There was a clash. LAPD declared it an unlawful assembly and then made several dozen arrests for failure to disperse, which that's something that we've heard here in Seattle over Black Lives Matter protests. LAPD then chose to fire rubber bullets at trans rights demonstrators from a close distance. That's in violation of a recent judge's ruling that restricts the department's use of certain less lethal projectile launchers against protesters. There's lots and lots and lots of social media, you know, tweets and twats and instas and stories and whatever the fuck all the shit is that kids do because I'm old.
You're so in the know.
Yeah, I really am. I really am.
I'll TikTok about you later.
It sure looks like the police are more interested in the First Amendment rights of the bigots than they are in the safety of the trans rights activists.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been going on for a while. It just got really bad this weekend. So Tucker Carlson got involved, and then shit really,
oh, sure,
you know, went ballistic. Quote, this is a statement that WeSpa had given to LA Magazine in late June. Quote, like many other metropolitan areas, Los Angeles contains a transgender population, some of whom enjoy visiting a spa. WeSpa strives to meet the needs of all its customers. And I don't know. One thought that I had, and I hope it isn't problematic, is there's this woman on a thread on, I think it was Twitter, talking about, why does my 9-year-old daughter have to see penises? And my thought was, why is she in an adult space seeing adult genitals at all of any gender? Why is your 9-year-old in like a sea of vajayjay? Why is that okay?
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, Kyle. It really stresses me out.
Yeah.
What do we do? How do we fix it? We just fucking kill people, I think. And we'll start with Tucker Carlson.
Anytime he shows up in a story, shit sucks.
News the second. So in big professional sports news, Luke Prokop made history today, Monday, becoming the first player under contract to a National Hockey League team to come out as gay. He's under contract, so I guess that means he might not actually be on the team. This part is very confusing. Don't at me. But he has signed with the Nashville Predators and came out in a social media post. Quote, hi, everyone. While the past year and a half has been crazy, it has also given me the chance to find my true self. I am no longer scared to hide who I am. Today, I am proud to publicly tell everyone that I am gay. It has been quite the journey to get to this point in my life, but I could not be happier with my decision to come out. From a young age, I have dreamed of being an NHL player, and I believe that living my authentic life will allow me to bring my whole self to the rink and improve my chances of fulfilling my dreams. He goes on, and it's very inspirational.
it's longer and more inspirational, but you get it.
Yeah. And yeah, he was selected by the Predators in the third round of the 2020 NHL draft. He's played the past four seasons with Calgary in the Western Hockey League. He scored 6 points in 15 games in the 2020-2021 season. He's 19 years old from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And
a gay man that was recruited to play with the Predators and has since scored. Like, this is not sounding great. I want to support all of this, but it's not adding up to, is this The Onion? Are you looking at a real news site?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking.
And of course, the Predators, there's a whole team of them, Kyle.
believe me, I know. The Predators. I've dated them all.
The Predators said, quote, the Nashville Predators organization is proud of Luke for the courage he is displaying in coming out today, and we will support him unequivocally in the days, weeks, and years to come as he continues to develop as a prospect, President and CEO Sean Henry said. A long-stated goal in our organization is equality for all, including the LGBTQ community, and it is important that Luke feels comfortable and part of an inclusive environment as he moves forward in his career. That sounds like we're going to cut him, doesn't it?
That sounds like we have to be extremely optimistic about, like, they probably, I don't know, we have no, I don't, maybe he's gonna suck, who knows how he's gonna do, but we have to pretend to be very optimistic about this.
Yep, absolutely.
NHL, it seems like more and more is like getting gay up in there
in that, yeah. Business.
Yep, starting with the predators.
Okay, next.
Yeah.
News, the next slash last is MJ Rodriguez, who is one of the lead actresses in the drama series Pose, has received an Emmy nomination, and making her the first trans woman in history to be recognized in a lead acting category. I have not seen Pose. You take it away, Kyle.
And here we go. Pose. You know, it's that's the one that like Billy Porter like has been all on about and wearing dresses about. I watched all the seasons like after they come out on whatever streaming thing. So I've not seen the most recent season for which she is nominated. First season Pose, I cried after every single episode. So like it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Apparently they earned 11 Emmys in their first two seasons, but not a single member of the series is trans female cast had ever been recognized before this year. This year for its final season, Pose got 9 nominations. In addition to MJ Rodriguez, the show snagged nods for Outstanding Drama Series and Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama Series for Billy Porter. Gotta love him. Okay.
And I think there was a also history making but less noted like a trans writer that was nominated for an Emmy on Pose.
Oh,
it seems like it could be true, right?
Yeah, I bought it.
Okay. I think so.
Hey Kyle,
hey Mike,
here's a secret.
What's
just confidently say things, they won't know. Nobody's going to check up on
it's 10 inches.
Well, you got my attention. Let's see. MJ Rodriguez, as far as what's next after Pose, apparently she is supposed to be starring opposite Maya Rudolph in a forthcoming still untitled comedy series for Apple TV. I love Maya Rudolph. I'd watch the shit out of that just on that alone.
Yeah.
So GLAAD has released an open letter to Emmy voters trying to get them to vote for her. quote, this television season, Emmy voters have the opportunity to make history, an opportunity to celebrate an entire underrepresented community that hasn't been valued for their artistic vision, creativity, or contributions. From the beautifully crafted storylines to the remarkable cast performances, Pose broke new ground for transgender inclusion, both in front of and behind the camera, leaving behind a legacy that will change the future of trans representation on television. In its final season, TV Academy voters must acknowledge the importance of telling and recognizing diverse storytelling, which includes the performances of trans people of color who have been overlooked for far too long. I guess that's also a developing story. When they win, we can do another story about all of the Emmys they won.
Is that another part of this? If you confidently say you're going to follow up on it, people will just believe it and we might never actually have to.
Remember that time we said we were going to have Dykes on Bikes on the show and then totally didn't and nobody said anything? Yeah, do people even listen to this show, Kyle?
Maybe this one. I might hope for like you're falling asleep while this one is on. So you technically like it was going. I remember they had an episode come out and then it just feels like a dream and then we can all move on. No, right. This is wonderful. Speaking of wonderful dreams.
Yeah, that's the news.
Great. And the following people are dreams. Does that mean good? Does that mean I made them up? You'd be the judge.
Nightmares are dreams, Kyle. although wet dreams are dreams.
You know,
here's a list of people giving us their money shot in their sleep.
Each one of these is a dream, nightmare, or wet dream. And Mike, you'll try to guess which is which. No. Okay. Great. Thank you to Patreon members who support this stuff that we're doing. Wayne Lynn.
Nocturnal Kevin, Emission.
Kevin Rosiel, probably. Rosiel?
Yeah, nightmare.
Kevin Rosiel. It is a nightmare. I pasted him twice. Or did he consume more paper because he's a nightmare? Colleen Sire? Sire?
Yeah, that sounds like a dream.
And Harry B.
Well, I mean, do I even need to say that one?
Thank you to everyone who gave us money. And sorry for the person whose name I clearly pasted over it. And I'll get you on the next round if you want to support us.
And why wouldn't you after this?
Go to patreon.com/gayishpodcast.
Yeah, great.
Great.
You want to talk about cheating?
I guess. Yeah, so what did you want to talk about?
Well, I told you. So I think that this actually is going to be a pretty personal episode, and that's okay. But I feel like I have less of a like the history of cheating. I don't really have that, but I do want to talk about like what
your impression of Mike is very good.
Yeah, thank you.
I loved it. Yes, no, go on.
I do want to talk about just the general thing of what is cheating and what is infidelity, because I think I'm in a conundrum for myself about it, and
why?
And just want to sort of own that. Well, so there's part of me that like thinks, okay, cheating is not something that you necessarily have to have all of the rules set out and in black and white to cross a boundary and be a cheater, that there are a certain number of like default setting rules that unless you otherwise have hammered it out with your partner, if you cross those lines, it's cheating. Then there's part of me that goes through this exercise of saying, well, okay, if I think that polyamory is cool and open relationships are cool, and I do, and that is like a valid sexual expression, then what does that mean when it comes to like what people owe each other? Like, why is monogamy the default, and why is not banging other people sort of presumed unless you say it were monogamous and lock it down? The whole thing seems vague and uncertain enough, and there we have so many like bullshit socially constructed defaults, a lot of which came from fucking rom-coms, that part of me wants to think like, if it hasn't been explicitly stated this is a rule and is cheating, then it's not. It's not until it's been said out loud and agreed to by the two people involved.
I think I know what you mean, that like if you just go in saying like, oh, okay, it's been 3 months, so clearly we're both like in agreement that this is monogamous, like that's like no, like if you haven't had that conversation 3 months in, then you can't assume that. But it's like there are things you would know would be lines even if you haven't explicitly said it. Like, I don't know, there's just, it's kind of like, I don't know, I'm trying to like think of the best example. Like if I just walked up to someone and punched them in the face, it'd be like, okay, technically you didn't tell
that's
me
not
I
cheating.
Couldn't. Like, no, that is not cheating. Well, it depends. What if I get off on that? And well, I do. no, that's bad, because there's like laws that guide what we're supposed to do. Like, I just...
I mean, you what you just said was assault, right? That's not...
Sexy assault.
Well, okay. Well, sexy or non-sexy assault, it's assault nonetheless.
You're right. We do need an emotional constitution that we set up for these United States where we establish the baselines that everyone should assume. And then if you want to deviate from that, you have to apply for a permit. I think there's... you know what you're doing is wrong. And you can pretend like, oh, we haven't defined it. And you do it anyway. It's like one of those things where like, if you're hiding it and if you're not going to be forthright about it intentionally, and you're, you know, all squeamish about it, like, you know, you did something wrong, and you're not hiding it for your own betterment. Like,
so this is interesting. I found an article on fatherly.com, which is a website I knew existed before just Googling for this. And a bunch of people weigh in on what is cheating, and Jordan Madison, who is an LGMFT, don't know what that stands for, but it sounds sexy. she says Jordan is a non-gendered name.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay. They think a great rule of thumb for if it is cheating, quote, is it a secret? Would you share what you are doing with your partner, or are you keeping it from them? If you are keeping it from them, then odds are you know that they would not find what you are doing is acceptable, and therefore you shouldn't be dong it. And doing is the word, but this is a high quality website. You shouldn't be dong it, Kyle.
But that's good advice. None of us should really be dong it if we feel like it's a secret. But, let your dong out.
From that perspective, are you hiding what you're doing? Then it's cheating.
I think there are times where you intentionally don't, like, with guys I'm dating, they know that I am dating other guys. I try not to like bring it up all the time on other dates. Like, oh yeah, tomorrow I'm going on this date, or like, man, I got real nice the other day. Like, mm-hmm. it's, And that's not out of hiding, but we have like broached the subject and I've said, oh, I don't want to talk more about like other people I'm dating. Like, that's just the most I'll tell you. Like, I don't, yeah, there's like sometimes keeping things is intentional, specific, and not out of trying to like hide it, but out of kind of compassion or doing what you think is best.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I have a whole series of, did I just say I have a whole like three times? Cause I do, a bunch of different questions that I kind of want to like, suss out. But, this same article starts out with, for as long as there have been relationships, there has been infidelity. And for as long as there have been infidelity, romantic partners have squabbled over what exactly counts as cheating. Is watching porn cheating? I say no, but lots of straight girls do, Kyle.
No, the answer is no.
What about flirting with a coworker, even though you know nothing's going to come from it?
If when you're hot and flirting, then you're in the wrong. If you're medium to ugly and flirting, it's okay. I didn't know you were asking easy questions on this episode, Mike.
When does a close friendship cross the boundary into being considered emotional infidelity? How much of cheating is in the eye of the beholder? And if you happen to be in an open relationship, what does cheating look like?
Sex. Looks like anal penetration.
Well, no. If you're in an open relationship.
Accidental anal penetration.
I sort of feel like we're in this, like it's the porn rule. I don't know what it is, but I know it when I see it or something. So included in this article were a bunch of other people's thoughts about what counts as cheating. And one of them was a psychologist, and they said, generally, infidelity is considered to be an act involving a third party that violates the standards or boundaries of a relationship between romantic partners. And they think it's anything that's a unilateral decision by one romantic partner to become involved with a third party that is motivated by a perceived or real limitation in the romantic partnership. So that goes into this whole thing about a necessary component of cheating is getting from somewhere else what you're not getting at home without asking for it or negotiating it. And
it sounded like there was some kind of, maybe not necessarily sex, but there's something missing from the relationship. And that's the rationale for the cheating, which I don't know that I agree that that has to be part of it. I think it can be like personal, you know, issues, not by anything lacking in the relationship, but something lacking within yourself that could make you seek like other validation or not trust what you're in or
Yeah.
But I do like some of those like ideas of like, it's a unilateral decision that has no foundation, any, like nothing you can point back to explain why you think that would be okay. Which is why like those fights up front are like very helpful and should be viewed less as fights and more like exploring where the lines are. Like,
but it sounds like what you're sort of talking about though is the opposite of where I thought you were. That's like you know where the boundaries are when you find them, which means you don't know where they are until you find them.
I think if you go on a first date and start establishing rules, you're going to be either some rule based individual is going to immediately fall in love with you and that'll be all they needed. But most people I feel like would be like, yo, I don't even know if I like you. you have to go on several dates in order to see if you even care about this person to start investing the setting up rules. And so there at least be some point in your relationship where things have not been explicitly defined. And even if and when you do start to define them, it's impossible to define every scenario.
All of this stuff that I've been reading today about cheating, not all of it, but most of it, the vast majority of it is centered on straight people. And, there's a lot more of them, Kyle. We can't help that.
I guess. we could. But the options are very drastic.
There was this relationship advisor in the same article that says that most people assume infidelity is physical, but the truth is that all infidelity starts with emotion. If we're unhappy in our relationship, it's natural to be attracted to others who make us feel good. And I don't think I believe that.
I think it can be triggered on emotion, but also sometimes sex feels good and that's why I want it.
Yeah. And then one of the people that they asked was a polyamorist, which I didn't know was a word. just adding an ist on the end of something just makes it sound sinister or something.
Oh, I thought it sounded like they got their degree in it or something.
They got their master's.
Once you date, you like add your 100th relationship to the polycule, you get your polyastery.
Yeah. But so what counts as cheating according to a polyamorist? They said, what is this person's name? Zinnia says, I define fidelity as remaining faithful to the existing terms of the relationship. This seems to be in my like whole, you gotta lay it out there or it's not real until you do. Back to this quote, an infidelity is a cardinal sin or any violation of the relationship. Every relationship has or should have its own terms. For example, I'm not financially dependent on any of my partners, so I don't have terms that expect them to make career or financial choices with my input. If my partner quit his job or bought an expensive car, I wouldn't see that as impacting our relationship. But if we had joint finances, we were raising kids together, or had different terms of the relationship, I would consider it an infidelity if my partner took on debt, made a huge purchase, or changed his financial situation without consulting me. And I do like that. That's sort of putting a finer point on this thing that I was having a problem defining, right? That it isn't necessarily, it depends on the relationship and it depends on the people involved in it.
And also like that they put it in the same boundary. It's like almost like lying, like a more general form. Lying could be like cheating. Could be a subcategory of just this bigger lying. If you make any big decisions without me, not just about sex, like about financial, like those you're cheating on me, like, or you're lying to me about something, or you're taking advantage of me or whatever you're doing. I like, we put such a taboo on like you, there's so many things that people find socially acceptable, but all of a sudden cheating is like the one thing that, causes a breakup. And I don't think we weigh things properly.
Yeah. I'll also end with this that I didn't realize until I started really looking into this today. This is Joseph Holscher, who is a managing attorney at Holscher Gebbia Sapieha PLLC. He's a lawyer. What counts as cheating?
Sounds like a horseradish producer.
Yeah. Apparently, there are fault divorce states and no fault divorce states. Washington State is a no fault divorce state. There's only like, you have to check one of these two boxes. Hey, Kyle, I've gotten divorced a couple of times. I know some shit.
This is your time to shine.
The only thing, I think it was the only option, is to say, I believe that the marriage is irreconcilably broken. And that's it. No, you don't, like, all it takes is for one of you to say this, I'm done, and it's over. But there are lots of states and jurisdictions around the world that take a very different view of divorce and have to have like legal definitions of things like cheating for determining who gets money and how much and under what circumstances. And does that weigh into what happens to the kids? And so it's really interesting. So he says, quote, two things count: any alienation of affection without the partner's consent and spending money without the partner's consent. So if you're spending emotional time with someone, particularly at the expense of quality time with your partner, and your partner is upset about it, then you're probably cheating.
Wow.
So maybe we need a disclaimer at the top of the episode.
Wait, why?
What we think is cheating might not actually be what cheating is where you live, and you
check your local
listings.
Yeah, check your local chamber of commerce for details on what cheating is. This is the best fights always end up in a library looking for legal definitions to prove a point.
Yep. So he says the law has some strong opinions when it comes to money. This is because money is easy to quantify, unlike the precise amount of pissed off your ex friend might be. It's also because when partners get mad at each other, they inevitably make the argument about money, and the kids too sometimes. Once you're spending community money without your partner's approval, you've cheated. You've taken something that belongs to both of you and used it for your own ends. If you've spent it on someone besides yourself, that's even worse, because it's not just selfish. It looks like you value that person more than your partner. What both these things have in common is betrayal. Someone feels betrayed, that their trust has been broken. Women know what I mean. Fuck you, Joseph. Sometimes I have to explain it to the guys. Has your wife ever taken some food or beer you were saving and given it to her friend you don't really like? Has she ever thrown out your old letter jacket? How far you can go varies with every relationship, but once it gets to court, only the lawyers really win.
I hate this guy.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's right, Marsha. I did put my dick in your friend, but also you gave my beer to that guy down the street. I was very upset with you. I'm going to just take the things I like from all the things I've gathered from what you've said. But I, what I like about it is comparing it to other things like using money or taking things without other people's knowledge just for your own exclusive gain when something different was kind of the agreed upon terms. Mm-hmm. And that can include sex, or that can include attraction or affection or money or kids or laundry. I don't know. It can include a lot of different things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I also think the, I don't know if what you're thinking about, like in terms of like how you arrive at the terms, but I think it's important that it, like, there can be one kind of like sit down discussion, like let's like actually talk about the terms and enumerate them together and come up, you know, like that's possible. But I also think there are so many things you learn about and discuss along the way that are important to include in the, like, those count as some of the terms, you know, even if you just say, if someone, you know, they're so casual, it's almost like what counts as consent. Well, there's so many things that play into it. Like if you casually mention several times, like, oh, like I'm not dating anyone. Are you? No. Oh, okay. Like if you all of a sudden started dating someone and said, well, technically we never said we weren't going to date someone new. It's like, well, okay. Mm-hmm. But the informal terms we kind of laid down were neither of us were dating other people. Like, you know, there's some of those things you learn along the way that become part of the terms that, and I'm like this, maybe this is because of like personal stuff or whatever that I've had of like, those all get built in and fed into what should be considered the terms of agreement. And, and just because you didn't have a meeting where you explicitly laid it out doesn't mean you haven't made some very, like, you know, strong agreements through just everyday occurrences.
Yeah. Yeah. And that idea of like, okay, now it's time for us to sit down and hash this out. When do you do that? Right. Yeah. Like what's the catalyst for that? Is it, you DTR and now we're boyfriends and now we got to lock down the rules? Or, I mean, hopefully you've hashed some stuff out before that. Right. But
this is where I just think it happens far more
organically.
All of a sudden. Yeah. Organically, and happens over time. And there are pieces that you start negotiating, like, you know, negotiate like what you can leave behind at someone's place. Like, what are the rules? And then that changes. So it's always growing and changing. So there's never, like, you probably have bigger moments in life in a relationship where you define more things, but there's so much, I guess I'm really pushing for like thinking of all the little cues and signs you give along the way in a relationship that establish and work through what the rules are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have some gay kind of data.
Let's do some gay data.
Well, it's so, okay. I started looking up data on if, like, gay men actually cheat more, or if bi people cheat more. Like, there are some of those stereotypes, mm-hmm. Especially
those greedy bi people.
For greedy bi people, gay men
that's
are
not,
just.
That's not what I think, by the way, bi people. I see you.
I see you. Just because you hate bi doesn't mean you're not human. I don't know. I couldn't find, unless I really decided to take the time to like read every single study. It just seems like so difficult to come up with comparisons that are fair, find studies that are like, I read someone reviewing other studies and like, they didn't ask people about whether it was a consensual or non-consensual non-monogamy. So like, is this cheating, or is this within the, like, you're hooking up with someone and that's within the bounds of your rules? Or when they compared gay people to straight people, they looked at straight people that were married, but for gay people, they didn't necessarily have to have were a couple. They didn't necessarily have to have any kind of like long-term commitment planned, or like, I don't know. It's just, anyway, without like doing a giant research kind of day on this, I decided it would be more hurtful than not to even mention any kind of numbers on how often we cheat compared to others.
Okay.
But what I do want to tell you is from FS Magazine, which seems to be like kind of like a gay sex magazine. I don't know. It's British. So, okay. You know, it's classy.
Foreskin.
Queen loves it.
Is that what the FS stands for?
Yes. Oh, mate.
It's Foreskin Magazine.
They asked their, like, 1,000 of their readers what counts as cheating. And so This, like, I thought was more useful. Like, ask any group of 1,000 men, you know, what they consider cheating. And that's an interesting thing, like, just to see how they rate it. So this is, you know, gay, sexually inclined men, I guess. Highest one, 79% said anal sex was cheating.
What? Okay. With somebody who's not your person.
Nope. Any anal sex is cheating on God, Mike.
Okay, great.
Your hole is God's hole.
That's why I say his name so much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, with another person. 76%, so just below that, was blowjob. 74%, a hand job. I liked this. 68%, so just over two-thirds, said cheating was breaking the rules of an open relationship, which, like, to me, I think that's the best you're going to get in terms of a more broad definition of cheating, sure. Like breaking the rules. But those, of course, the mics, the pedanticists are less interesting than 66% of people who said cheating was kissing. Or tangible kind of metric there that they gave us there. Mm-hmm. 62% said emotional intimacy with another person, which I think that's emotional intimacy. That's an interesting one. 55% said using hookup apps.
Yeah, sure.
Would you consider, if you caught someone on a hookup app, would you consider that cheating?
Well, not the question you asked, but, like, I definitely looked at apps when married to Trevor and hid that from him. So going back to the, like, ooh, do you hide it? Yeah, I did. So was it cheating? I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. Well, there, but this is where, like, you know, cheating is under a subcategory of bigger things called lying. So there's some lying there about sexual issues. So, like,
yeah, is it sex? I guess it is. I don't know. There's like a rationalization that goes on that I'm not proud of. And
I'm not trying to say that it is cheating. But I think that the word cheating is so scary to us that the fight to label it as not cheating is like, then if you can label it as not cheating, then it's like, oh, whew, that's such a big relief. Not trying to make you feel any bad or better about it at all. It's just, I think just the name cheating is so
loaded. Sure. Yeah.
When it's done right.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. I mean, I think in that instance, I rationalized it as, sure, I'm looking for attention, but that's all the further that it's going to go. Like, I'm not actually going to meet up with any of these people or let it interfere.
Yeah.
And then I kind of agree then too with some of these people that were saying that it's about it's emotional. That it's not merely the physical that needs to be considered, because, like, there were clearly things that were wrong with my relationship that, like, I was on there as both distraction from my problems and our problems, but also, like, seeking validation and attention from somewhere I thought that maybe I could get it. And that's kind of like, that's bad. That's some foundational, you know, there's issues in the relationship territory.
Wow. I have so many feelings about so many things you said. I don't think seeking attention and validation from people is inherently bad. And I think for apps, back to apps, like being on an app, to me is something that's like, if we haven't explicitly talked about it, is it like, what are you using it as? Are you using it similar to porn, where it's fun to, like, talk and like jerk off or look at people and you don't do anything? Like, I have in the past found out that boyfriends of mine were on like on apps. And at first I was angry, but then I was like, it's not, I'm not, if we agree that we're like, we're on apps and that's fine, like I'm totally cool with that. And in fact, maybe it'd be fun for us to sit down together on them and like look through them. Or if you want to do it on your own, fine. Like, and you're not like cheating or violating any rules, that's fine. I like that to me is an open discussion and not one I'm completely like, oh, it's automatically you're cheating on me. But it also, I think it's one like, it is one that affects you more than I compared it to porn. It affects you more than porn because other people are seeing, like if someone says like, I saw your boyfriend on Scruff the other night, what's going on? Like it's something that could like get back to you or affect you. And so.
Well, and like, whoever you're talking to is a person that has.
Unfortunately. But I don't think being on there, if you both agree to it, even if you want to do it on your own, going there for sometimes you want some emotional or physical validation through people's words or getting checked out. Like, I don't think that's inherently bad.
Yeah. I mean, neither. Maybe that's why I'm divorced.
That's a good, like, get out of jail free in any of these conversations.
Okay. We're going to talk about Trevor. So in my marriage, to Trevor, Trevor and I separated. When we got back together again, we were going to be open. And I said, you know, fuck whoever you want to, just don't fall in love. And I still stand by that as what I thought at the time and what I wanted. And I was genuinely fine with the sex parts. Like we both hooked up with other people, and it's not really the falling in love part. I mean, that's what I said, but that wasn't really the problem. The problem was the feeling of attachment, intimacy, quality time, the feeling of sharing a life together. All of that is really a function of space and time, right? It's him being around and then the quality of our interactions when he's around, and losing that to somebody else because his feelings are going there instead of to me. So he can't help who he has feelings for. But once those feelings start to detract from what's going on in our relationship, that's when it's a problem.
Yeah.
And so that really is about physical behavior at some level. And a lot of it's really subtle too. It's like eye contact and the way that people touch each other, and those things change when the feelings are changing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like I rambled.
Gosh. What I think it's interesting is the way you're describing, it almost feels like the love someone has to give is like a zero sum game. And if he moves it to someone else, it is being taken away from you. Like I wonder if was it about falling in love with someone else? Was it about you not feeling loved? And could he, if he had continued, or if someone can continue to make you feel like you're important and valuable and worthwhile and loved, then would being in love with someone else still be a problem for you?
I don't think so. I think that that's something that I've arrived at that took a while, that maybe I wasn't in a place to know that about myself or articulate it to Trevor. I think I would be okay with that. And it was this really hard to quantify thing. I did feel like it was taking away from, but I think it actually was.
Like, right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I think both, you probably felt like it because it was, but also then is it like, so then what I'm thinking is like, if he had been, instead of another person, if he had all of a sudden redirected all that time into studying, or if he had redirected all that time into something else that was still taking away from you, would they still be two equal sized issues? Would they be different? Like, would they be similar? Or, I don't know how different.
It's a lot harder to be jealous of a textbook, Kyle. I have tried. I mean,
okay. I'm going to talk about me.
Yeah, do
that's
it.
The only thing I, but like, I actually think this might in far lower stakes be comparable to what you're talking about. So I was thinking of like cheating, my experience with being cheated on and cheating on people. And one of them that I just came to me his early 20s when I was in Seattle. I was going on a few dates with someone. I liked him. And we sat down to watch in a movie theater, because people did that in those days. They're crazy times. And we like sat down to a movie and we were talking, and somehow it came up that he made out with one of his female coworkers. And I was really angry, and he was like, "What's the deal?" And looking back on that, I feel weird, because I was angry and then stayed through the whole movie. And then at the end, just got up and left. And that's a very weird move. Not about like whether I'm allowed to be angry or not, but like to be angry and but be like, "But you can't leave the movie theater." I don't know. That's like a very weird move on my part.
Because you'd be disrupting other people, or because the conspicuousness of like, "Oh, she looks pissed."
I don't know. Or like, I was kind of debating it in my head of if I cared, like, I don't know. But what reminded me of that is you saying like, "Oh, like maybe falling in love with someone actually is not the line." I just didn't know enough to know at the time what the boundary was and how to say that. And obviously mine is on a very small, much smaller degree. At the time, I didn't know how I would feel about, or clearly I was angry without being sure why, that my boyfriend would make out with someone of the opposite gender. Now I would not care at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly like the, I'm unsure about this, or I'm insecure about it. And so I'm going to set a more specific, tighter rule because, or I know it makes me mad and I don't know why yet. And it might be because it actually is wrong. It might be just because I don't like it, or there might be something about me that makes that like something that I react like. It's not inherently good or bad. It's just, I have feelings coming up about it for some reason. So I'm going to set that boundary. That makes me think like a lot of boundaries come out of that place rather than the experience and knowledge of like, this is where it should be for me and what feels right. Did that make any sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I put on here that I wanted to talk about is your opinions on the phrase "once a cheater, always a cheater."
Ooh, I disagree.
You disagree. Yeah. You think that there are redeemable cheaters?
Well, I would disagree to like, this is like the difference between a homophobic comment and a homophobe. If you say one homophobic thing, that doesn't make you a homophobe. If you keep doing it repeatedly and have rejected all ability to grow or change, then you're a homophobe. Like, to me, it's the same thing. Like, doing it once and then being labeled a cheater, like, that's like far too oversimplified, and not even simplified, because I think that's like a mislabeling of.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I know studies are your thing, and I'm sorry, but there's a Psychology Today article that I found from 2020, Dr. Alexandra H. Solomon, and she says, quote, "We have heard the adage, once a cheater, always a cheater, but how true is it? And researchers have found evidence that people who report cheating in a previous relationship are more likely to cheat in a subsequent relationship." So dating someone with a history of cheating is certainly a cause for concern. However, she continues, "However, I firmly believe that none of us can be defined by our worst behaviors. What marks the difference between someone who continues cheating and someone who uses their painful behavior as a catalyst for growth and healing? Willingness to practice relational self-awareness, which is the ongoing practice of understanding who you are in the context of your intimate partnerships." It's interesting because from like a lot of things, that phrase, once a cheater, always a cheater, always a strong, but like there is some grounding in truth there, that there is a measurable human behavior of, again, people who report cheating in a previous relationship are more likely to cheat in a subsequent relationship. And there could be lots of different reasons why. Some of the ones that are out there are like, you might just have a personality disorder. You might be a malignant narcissist. You might, you know, have those kinds of issues. You might have attachment disorder issues. That there really are like, you don't want to judge somebody too harshly for just like whatever their constitution is. Like there are some people that will just naturally struggle with these things more. I don't know. It's complicated. Everything's complicated, Kyle.
Well, that's why I think, like, but there can also be good things. Like, you are love have sex, having sex, and you're great at it. Like, I think the idea that monogamy is the only type of relationship, like, the fact that that's going away is very useful to lots of people and could help some of these statistics. Because, like, if you're being forced into a monogamous box that you're just were not meant for, or if you're gay being forced into a straight relationship that you were not meant for, like,
it's really not fun.
so I've heard. Yeah, it's being more open about what kind of lifestyles, orientations, like all that, like relationship statuses, like what all is available to people can only help people find like the right one and not resort. I think sometimes cheating is a resort based on some circumstances isn't working for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel, speaking of being gay forced into a straight relationship, not that I was like super forced into this, but I call it cheated. The one time that I cheated on someone is when I was dating a girl my sophomore year of college. She went to a different school. She was real, though. That sounds very fake for a closeted kid in sophomore year of college.
She's Canadian and she's a model.
She's so hot. She loves blowing my penis. We were dating, and all the while I was hooking up with my roommate, my male roommate at the time. Yeah. And I kind of write that off as...
Well, who was also real.
Who is also real. My roommate that I was... Wow. I kind of wrote that off and like didn't let myself describe it as cheating for a long time until it was like, wait, okay, it doesn't matter the reasons why. It was very clear like the relationship we had was supposed to be monogamous.
Yeah.
And I should not be hooking up with other people, much less hooking up with boys that I lived with. So like, I don't know. Would you call that cheating?
Boy, that's rough. I mean, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I struggle very similarly with like, I like to joke, but it's also not really a joke because it's the truth that like with my ex-wife that she cheated on me with a dude from work. So I cheated on her with a dude from work. But that whole saga of like actually, you know, having a physical relationship with a guy at well before I'd come out to her or left her, was that cheating? Yes, it was. And I feel like, I mean, I'm projecting, but I feel like your situation is just sort of the proto version of the same thing that I went through.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to find the boundary between. Obviously gay people are forced into straight relationships. There's so much done to us societally that explains why we might date or marry a woman and still have the gay urges that we have. And then like have that come out in a shitty way by cheating, but also like to what degree do you get to write off your own mistakes or cheating because of what society did to you, like, you know, and that's something I don't know how to.
Yeah.
Like I get if you're gay stuck in a straight relationship and you want gay sex, cause you're gay dude, like that you might cheat, but also you still do have this family and like moving away or leaving your family that you like, that's shitty. Like that's no matter how many, like, no matter what you explain to me about how society forced you into that life, still sucks if you leave your kids, you know, like,
yeah. Thank fucking Jesus we didn't have kids, Kyle.
God, can you imagine?
I can, and it would be horrible.
It would be horrible. It'd be so bad. I also have had two past relationships where, there were varying levels of cheating. One that was like outright, like hooked up with another dude. Yeah. And then another and was outside of the bounds of like what we discussed. Another where a guy like didn't actually hook up with anyone, and I believe him, but I found messages he had sent to, like, sexual messages he had sent to other guys, and that was enough for me that that was different than just being on an app or it was like, you know, looking through text messages of things he had sent. It was like, yeah. So I broke up with two big relationships I've had because he cheated on me.
Yep. Yep. Did you see that coming? Like, do you have enough distance to?
I didn't see him coming. That's why. That's the problem.
Do you seek out broken people because you're broken, Kyle? Is that why we're friends?
I don't know. I'm gonna pretend you didn't ask that, because otherwise I'll get lost in the old fart box. I think that for one of the relationships, it already was kind of not going great, and that just kind of solidified kind of where it was already going. It just kind of put it on a fast path. Mm-hmm. And then for another one, I, at the time, my boyfriend cheated on me, and then I decided to stay with him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I cared a lot about him and thought that he was the one I was supposed to be with. So I thought that, I don't know, we could try to figure out how to work through it. And, it was going to be hard, but I was going to be willing, like, I was willing to do it with him. Mm-hmm. And then, and we, like, I don't know. Yeah, I feel really stupid that, like, I agreed to stay with him. And, you know, we had these, like, here's the agreement. Here's what's going to happen. Here's, like, how the relationship is, like, what is in play and is not in play. And I remember, like, during Pride one year, I was like, you know what? Like, this was even after he cheated on me. I was like, I'm open to, like, whatever you, like, what kind of rules or terms we think are most helpful, like, over Pride, if we just want to decide, like, we're completely open, like, I'd be fine with that. I don't want that long term, but, like, let's figure out what works. So mm-hmm. I thought I was being very very reasonable, but made it very clear, like, if this happens again, that's the end of the relationship.
Yeah.
And it did. And yeah. So then part of me feels silly for giving him another chance. When I don't know.
I mean, I get that and feel your feelings, and that's dumb. Don't feel like that.
Feel your feelings, except the dumb ones, right?
I mean, that's saying this relationship is important enough to you that you don't want that to be the end of it, and you're going to you shouldn't feel silly about that at all.
I guess
it says nothing but good things about you, as far as I'm concerned.
I don't know. I also have this complex of, like, as someone who's not had self-esteem and self-confidence and is trying to work on that, then trying to find out, like, understand where those lines are and how to draw them. And like, that becomes very difficult. And this was a very extreme case where it was like, I have enough time to think about and, like, okay, yes, I am willing to continue with this relationship if he doesn't do it again. Like, you know, able to think through it, but there are things every single day that I'm like, should I have done something? Should I have stood up for myself there? Or was I too lenient, or what, you know, like, those kind of decisions come up all the time. So to have, like, to decide that someone cheating on me was not enough to end a relationship, and then let myself get back in and then get cheated on again, kind of like, I think I could interpret that as like, well, you're not standing up for yourself.
Sure.
You're just letting people treat you however they want to. Especially because that's my, well, yeah. I guess
you took a chance and it didn't work out. I don't,
I also think Reynolds is chewing on his bone. He's
cheating on you.
I was going to say that, but then that sounded very gross, and I didn't. I also realized that, like, I don't know, I need to get past the, like, initial, like, I'm in love with you and everything's perfect kind of phase before deciding who is the right person long term.
Sure. Yeah. Love makes you stupid for like 6 months to a year.
Well, it just also seems like everything's perfect and will always be that way.
Yeah.
And I am also someone who I am someone who always like puts a cap on their feelings or like holds back. So I finally like really just like went all in with someone mm-hmm. and was willing to, and that didn't work. So like some of these things that I was trying for myself to like grow and expand beyond, like for personal growth and to try to help make, you know, my relationship better, kind of felt like they backfired on me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure it feels that way. I'm sure it does. I know it does. The part of your brain that is like on the lookout and is trying to help you and stop you from experiencing painful things could totally latch onto that and say that backfired. Never do that again.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah. It's also weird thinking like, I don't know specifically who, but it's like weird. Like in Seattle, like it just any guy I meet or run into, like could have been the one he cheated with me on.
Yeah, that's true. Would it make you feel better to know?
Yes.
Why did you find out?
I asked and he said he didn't want to tell me.
Oh, okay.
Should I ask him now? Is that a weird thing to text your ex?
Yes.
You say sad things about yourself now.
Okay, great. Sure. I have on my list, is it better to tell or not? I have also cheated. I don't want to go into it too deeply. I don't just mean on my ex-wife, which I put on a different level. And I forget where I got the idea, but it was, I think, from a movie or something. Just this idea that, like, if you don't get caught, don't fucking say anything, because that's actually selfish. Hmm. That's not about your partner. That's about you. And why would you do that to them? Because it's just going to be painful and horrible. Like, do some introspection, figure out why you cheated, make some changes, you know, work on yourself. But unless it's absolutely necessary, don't tell your person. and I didn't, and I haven't. And that's an even weirder thing to text him, probably. Hey, by the way.
Wait, so he doesn't know?
I don't think so.
Wow.
At least not the thing that I'm thinking about.
Are there multiple things you could be referring to?
So there are things that are like maybe in that gray area of I kept them secret. So there's that, by that definition, definitely cheating. But also like letter of the law, is it? I don't know. We definitely didn't talk about it. But it wasn't putting my dick in somebody. But so like that for some people is a different level, right? It's just in this gray area.
So that's what you're talking about. Like when you say you've cheated, you've done things that you felt like were in a gray area.
Yeah.
I don't know how much to ask you about this or how much detail you want to.
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
What'd you do?
What did I do?
I shouldn't have asked it so sexy.
Oh man. It's interesting. Let's talk about this for a second. What are the consequences of this getting back to him? Let's say there's somebody, maybe he listens. I don't fucking know. Or somebody in his life close enough that listens that would like then connect the dots and go tell him. So what? Right? Like I guess I would feel bad that I hurt him because I still care about him, but like,
and would you feel not? That it's not, it's something that he found out through someone other than you?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But oh man, Kyle. Oh God. Okay. Here we go. Good job. I for sure blacked out, wasted in Las Vegas on a trip when I was by myself, and woke up in a dude's bed. And I don't actually know what we did, but I had all my clothes on, so I'm pretty sure we didn't bang, but maybe did. But also, I think I got roofied because I can drink, but I didn't have that much to drink and don't remember a lot of that evening. And I don't know. I carried a lot of guilt and shame about that whole thing for a really long time, and definitely did not mention it. It was also pretty early on in our relationship.
That was a roller coaster ride. Okay, wait. Do you do you remember how many drinks you had?
It couldn't have been more than like five.
Which I just saw you pound five drinks before we started. And you look fine. No, that's a lie. But did you smoke weed or anything else? I'm just trying to understand like what degree of assuredness that you like, or how much you think you were roofied.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know why I'm so reluctant to say it. I think I feel like I did something shameful. Yeah. That part. Okay. So I was hanging out with a dude. Okay. I was hitting on a dude at a gay bar, mm-hmm. like all of that stuff. I think my shame is justifiable because we're talking about cheating and that's what this is about. I don't know why I feel so much shame about I for sure got roofied. Hmm. I don't know why I'm tiptoeing around that. There's absolutely no way. I know my body. I know the way that I react to alcohol. Something else was going on for me that night, and all signs point to roofies.
Wow.
And maybe some of the shame around that is not necessarily that he did that to me as much as it is I put myself in a position for that to happen. Maybe part of me thinks I deserved to be roofied because there I was hitting on a cute boy at a gay bar.
Wow.
And like I said, I'm also pretty sure we didn't do anything. But we did.
Wait, what?
I just mean the whole thing is bad enough whether we actually fucked or not. I think
I don't I mean, whether going to a bar, flirting with someone, I think those are negotiable, and I don't think that's inherently cheating on someone. What counts as flirting? I just think some of those lines are so hard to draw. So I don't inherently think, I think there's a big difference between going out to a bar, talking and flirting with someone, even feeling real turned on by them versus going home and being in their bed, you know? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. to not justify, but I think in some way emotionally justify that you were doing something wrong. So to deserve something wrong to happen to you is, do you objectively know that that's incorrect? And how victims tend to think.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure.
But
absolutely
internalizing it is probably a different story.
Yeah. Well, and cause I definitely told him that I got roofied, but I left out because I was hitting on a boy at a gay bar and woke up in his bed. Right. Oh. Anyway,
even your phrasing of that, you didn't get roofied because you were hitting on someone. That's not,
well, you don't roofie the uggo you don't want to fuck, Kyle.
No. You didn't get roofied because you were flirting with someone. Someone is an asshole and a shitty person and took advantage of you.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're very beautiful and roofieable.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I also think that, the Mike got roofied notwithstanding. I think that for me to fully come out and say I was cheating at some stage was not going to do any good at all. All it was going to do is make him feel shitty. And I feel like I learned my lesson. And so why do it? What good was that going to do?
But you think the takeaway from that is you were cheating, meaning being out at a bar and talking.
Well, okay. So let's say I didn't get roofied and that boy just grabbed me and started making out with me. And I was, a little drunk, but not like roofied, what would I have done? I probably would have made out with them. I probably would have like gotten handsy. I probably would have gone home and blown him. I that's the direction that I was headed that night. That's, you know,
things
that's, that it's all hypothetical. And I get that.
Things that you think could have, would have, might have happened don't justify anything. Like that doesn't, that seems like a, yeah, that's not, you didn't do any of those things. I don't know. I think it sucks that you were made to feel like it almost seems like getting roofied in that story is like a fifth level detail, a 10th level detail that you're like, but anyway, all of that stuff would have happened anyway, where that's like not at all the case. Like that's, you don't know what you would have done, where the night was going to go, and the things you were doing weren't explicitly cheating. So just to like lump that all into, well, I was cheating, so I'm going to write the whole thing off.
Yeah, that's true.
That sucked. That's, like, if you really didn't have those parts of your relationship defined, I would hope you'd be able to, or someone I'm dating in a similar spot would be able to come to me and say, I was out at a bar and yes, I was talking to and flirting with other guys. Also, this thing happened, and for me to be far more concerned about like them being taken advantage of and roofied than if someone got hung up on just like, oh, you were talking to other guys, be like, oh, buddy, you're missing. You're that is so not the point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
That sucks that you've had to put those two events in the same category and then write them like both off, you know?
Yeah.
When you say you've learned your lesson, what does that mean for you? Like, what have you done? Have you done things differently because of that?
Oh, well, I mean, I definitely stopped texting guys online, chat rooms and that kind of thing. I didn't think apps were a thing at that stage, but like I stopped that. I didn't hit gay bars when I was traveling alone anymore. I redoubled my efforts to be monogamous and succeeded at that. And it's that success actually that made it abundantly clear when he was cheating on me and I got gonorrhea. Like,
yeah.
Whether that should have been the takeaway or not, I blamed myself for what happened to me and it scared me. And I then, you know, I got scared gay. I don't know. Anyway. Did we do it?
No.
You have more to say?
I don't think I want to say anymore, but I also don't know that we didn't. I don't know. Yeah, I think that is a good discussion for now.
All right. Well, I'm going to go be on Minority Report later.
No, you're going to cheat on me?
Yeah.
If you don't want to cheat on us, go take a listen to another podcast while we take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Let's take a break.
This is the part where Mike and Kyle take a break.
You ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
You got it?
Yeah.
So are we back?
We're back.
We're back.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest.
We're going to do our gayest and straightest, but first, we're not doing our context stuff so that you fuckers can focus. Pay attention.
Ooh.
Right now, go to podcastawards.com and click the blue button and vote for gayish. You can vote for some other fuckers too if you want to, but you got to vote for us. And if you don't, I will know and I will come to your house and rail you. Nope, I shouldn't have said that.
That's the reward.
also, this Sunday, just a couple of days from now that you are hearing this, the Pride 48 live stream is happening. That is going to be Sunday, July the 25th. Our time slot is 3 p.m. Pacific. Go to pride48.com and click on listen to the stream. There's also a Discord server where there'll be a chat, both on the gayish Discord server and on the Pride 48 Discord server. So join in on the fun. There are lots and lots of cool queer podcasts that are happening.
And I think we're doing our most sexually explicit topic ever.
I think we are too.
I would be very hard pressed to find one that's more. Yeah. So check it out.
Also, Saturday night, late, I don't know when exactly, but I'm going to be reading erotic fiction with Donna Sugars.
Oh, wow. You buried the lead. You buried the lead vocals.
Last but not least, our quarterly Zoom call for Patreon is this coming up Wednesday, August the 4th, 2021 at 6 p.m. Pacific. Look in the Patreon app for the Zoom link. Join us at every level of Patreon. If even if you're only giving us a couple of pesos, you'll still get to come and hang out with us for an evening. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy those calls.
Yeah, and it's not just the Patreon app. It's any Patreon site. Our posts on any Patreon site.
Yeah, just you have to get the login information through Patreon.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So that's it.
Cool.
Gayest and straightest.
Yeah.
Great.
Why don't you go?
The gayest thing about me this week is Todrick Hall's Rain and Fellas. I made you listen to it a couple of times over the weekend. It is gay. I am gay. The gay courses through me.
It is very gay. It's, the fact that it's taken on reigning men, like it's just kind of everything, every gay thing you can think of.
Yep. The straightest thing about me this week was the drive home from the cabin from the retreat this weekend and doing the two finger Jeep salute to all the Jeeps on the way home.
You did it to so many.
Yeah, right. I fingered so many Jeeps.
You fingered so many on the way home. Real quick, too.
Yep. Just
one after another.
How about you, Kyle?
I fingered no one. Gayest and straightest are both related to the food that you and I went on a retreat this past weekend with our friends. That sounds way more formal, but a hangout with our friends. And I brought alcohol and I brought some of the snacks for people. And my snacks that I bought are the straightest and the drinks that I brought are the gayest. The snacks were like chips and popcorn and like
so many crackers
carbs. And it was just like the all the fattiest Oreos and just like shit that gays wouldn't touch with a 10-foot mm-hmm. mouth. And mm-hmm. The drinks I got were like rosé and mimosas and truly like the berry flavored truly. So yeah, my cart was a mishmash. Speaking of a mishmash of truly awesome people,
yeah.
I want to thank the following super gap bridgers.
You're going to say their names twice because you didn't say them last week.
Instead of copy pasting, I typed them onto my page. So it was far more laborious this time. So I hope that counts. Thank you to Forrest Nail, Patrick Martin, Anonymous, Clinton Withers, Explosive Lasagna, Christopher Farrell, Jamie Pugh, Tipsy McStumbles, Thomas B, Dusty Sands, Chris Kachatorian, Jerome York, and CN and Javi. We appreciate you more than everyone. Don't cheat on us.
Thank you. And a special thank you to everyone I've cheated on.
To all the boys I fucked before you knew about it.
Well, that is it. This has been Gayish from the Chris Kachatorian Studios. This has been Gayish. I said that part already. I'm Mike Johnson.
Until next week, be Butch, be Fabulous, be you. Stay with us.
Stay with us. So we separated, and then when we got back together again, part of the negotiation was that we were going to be open. And I said, bang whoever you want to, just don't fall in love. Yeah. And
I really have to poop, and it's sure. And it's not. I was waiting for a break, and
sure.
When go. We started to get personal, okay, I'm trying to figure out how to mute this because that's important to me.
Sure. Oh, well, no, now I can hear, but can't see.
I don't know how to mute my mic.
Here, I'll just stop it.